key scripture. Why don't you open up to Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. That's our key scripture for this series. Pastor Sherry even quoted it. I'm like, gosh, girl. All right. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, guess who he's talking to? Believers. Okay, so if you're a believer, he's talking to you. So read it like he's talking to you. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy. And God's mercy, if you start in Romans chapter 1 and you get all the way over to here, it's just talking about all the good things, the goodness of God, and just how he's poured out and given us all things. So that's the goodness of God, all right? So in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, this is your true and proper worship. So what he's saying is, God is asking you, will you surrender your life and follow him? And the answer is, gosh, I don't know. This side answered yes. This side, I don't know about y'all. All right. And you know what it happens is, when you just see the goodness of God and you go, God, you're so good. Look at all the good things you've poured out. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for bringing me to this place. And then I want to say, God, I want to hear what you have to say. And I want to understand all that you have in the Word of God. And God, when I do that, I am just going to just live for you. I'm just going to be yours. Everybody say, I'm going to be yours. That's called surrender. Called surrender. Okay, and now that surrender thing, I have to do that every day. Anybody else? Every day I have to go, all right. No, I don't do it that way. But there are some situations where I'm like, okay, I am going to surrender my life to you, Lord Jesus, today. And if I don't do that every day, this world has just this sweet way of just pushing you this way and pushing you that way, and all of a sudden I'm in a place I don't want to be, and I'm living in a life I don't want to live. So every day I go, Lord, I'm yours. Thank you for making me yours, and today again I surrender my life to you. I am going to be yours and serve you. Okay, verse 2, let's jump down there. Romans 12:2, it says, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world. All right, so we talked about that last week, and we said, If from the time you're born till now, this world is throwing things in the pot. It is programming you. And sometimes the world, not all of it's bad. I've learned some good things hanging out with the world. But there's a lot of things that were put inside of me that weren't good. They weren't Bible. They're not biblical. So he's saying, hey, you've got to watch what's going on there. And then he says, don't allow this. Don't allow it. It says, do not. Don't allow this. And then he tells you how. Then he tells you how. What does it say? It says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So if you've got the world that's pulling you, trying to pull you over here, the only way you're going to stop that is you're going to have to renew your mind into the Word of God. And we said it's really kind of easy. I get up in the morning. I read my Bible. I look up, if I've got some specific issues going on in my life, I look up what they are. Nowadays, I just got one of those talk to the Google box. I just talk to the Google box. Google, find me a scripture about this, okay? And I start reading it. I'll read it in the morning, and I'll read it in the afternoon. And pretty soon, I've actually memorized it. Anybody memorized some scriptures and you didn't even know you were memorizing them? Right? You just kept saying them and thinking about them, about the issue in your life, and you just got in there. And pretty soon, you know what happens? It transforms how I live my life. Isn't that remarkable? The Word of God will transform the way you live your life. It's just beautiful. So how many of you want your life transformed? Yes. Okay. Now, let me say this. You can't add anything to get you to heaven. If you've believed in Jesus, you're going to go to heaven, okay? You're going to heaven because I've asked Jesus to be Lord and Savior of my life. I'm born again. I'm saved. I'm a believer, all those things that we say, okay? So that's not going to get me more to heaven. I'm going to heaven. But listen, the life that I now live down here, I can live it just so much better, all right? By just knowing what God says about me and going, lights on, and then I start living it, all right? Praise God. You all look as excited that I am, all right? Sure, Pastor D. So I got to thinking, this was, some of you, do not check out. Go lock those doors. Okay, listen to this. So I got to thinking, what is the most, the biggest thing that the world has programmed us wrong? What is the biggest thing that the world has programmed us wrong to believe? I got to thinking about that, that we need to renew our mind in, all right? So I got to thinking about this, and at first I was like, you know, I don't know. Y'all know this. I'm not going to talk about this. And then I read the statistics, so listen to this. 80% of Catholics and Protestants in the United States believe that Jesus isn't the only way to heaven. Okay, you didn't listen. Here we go. 80% of the Catholics and Protestants, and by the way, you're a Protestant if you're not a Catholic. That's kind of how this divide goes, all right? 80% of the Catholics and Protestants in the U.S. believe Jesus isn't the only way to go to heaven. Okay, so that kind of shook me, and that's why I decided I'm going to teach what I'm going to teach, because you think you might be, anyway, so we're going to do this. So 80% of Catholics and Protestants believe that there's other religions that will take you to heaven. 80% of them believe that Jesus plus, like good works, will get you to heaven. 80% of them believe that just being a good person will get you to heaven. Does anybody know people like that? I do. I know a bunch of people like that. And when I saw that statistic, I was alarmed. So that's why I'm going to teach what I'm going to teach today, all right? Now, some of you are thinking, well, you know, I can't say, okay. So this one particular denomination, the first one that I read, you know, their services are like less than 30 minutes of messages. So, you know, the Protestants, they've got longer messages and they probably know the word. So they're probably not in that statistic. No, listen to this. It says this, ready? 72% of Protestant Christians in the U.S. believe Jesus isn't the only way to heaven. All right? That's kind of alarming. So they both believe the same thing. That there's other ways to heaven. That's what it's saying. Look at your neighbor and go, can you believe that? Other ways to heaven. All right? That statistics is something, okay? So the question is, what does the Bible teach? Is that what the Bible teaches? Yeah, thank you. This side here has got the nose. I don't know, you guys. Come on. Okay, all right. So the question is, now, how many of you would agree the culture is telling you that? The culture, and listen, if you're 30 and under, I don't know, they all disappeared, the 30 and under, I got one here. They've been slammed. They have been slammed with that, okay? But I'm telling you what, my lovely young generation, we're getting slammed in the same thing, getting pounded that there's other ways, all right? There's other ways. So right now, I hope I'm stirring you, and if I'm really stirring you and you're like, I'm leaving, can I just ask you to smile at me? And just listen for another 30 minutes. And if you choose to disagree with me, we'll just disagree to disagree. It's okay. But I want you to be really open to this, all righty? I want to read you a quote. I am not telling you the name of this church or this pastor. I was going to, and the Lord says, don't you do that, Dee. Anyway, this is a pastor. He pastors a 10,000-member church. I know the denomination that he's in, and they teach the right thing. That Jesus is the only way, but I want to read this quote because I want you to see where he is now in what he believes. Ready? There was a time when you used to see people in the pulpit say, well, if you don't believe in Jesus, you're going to. Gosh, how many of you grew up in churches like that? Yeah, okay. So he goes on to say, that's insanity in many ways because that is not what Jesus even believes. What Bible is this guy reading, right? And he said, I personally celebrate, people take many paths to God. I personally celebrate the path others take in finding him, even if that path does not include Jesus Christ. What the Bible are you reading? Okay, I'm not going to tell you his name, but I'll tell you the denomination that he's in. And I know when he went to seminary, that wasn't what he was taught, okay? I know that seminary, okay? Isn't that crazy? Okay, it's bananas, okay? So now listen, I will agree that there are different paths that lead us to, right. And you all have a story, and your story, I've heard your story, and I've heard your story. It's different than my story, but where did it lead me to? Jesus, and I accepted him, and now I know I'm going to heaven. Now I know I'm a part of the family of God, okay? So I don't agree, and I'm telling you, I don't know what Bible he's reading, I believe it's the culture, the spirit upon the earth, the culture that's going on here, okay? And how many of you, write down Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Jesus is the only way to heaven, by the way, right? Okay? And it is the most powerful message in the whole world. It is so powerful because Romans 1:16 says, this is Apostle Paul, I am not ashamed of the gospel, Jesus. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus, right? And he's saying, I'm not ashamed of Jesus. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. And Jesus is the way that you get to heaven. Jesus is it, okay? He's saying that, okay? And the second part, it says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God that brings or results in salvation to everyone who believes. Right? We need some help. I love my young guys that help us out, right? Thanks, Andrew. Okay. I'm going to read this scripture again because we were distracted. Here you go. It says, this is Apostle Paul. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God. It is the power of God that brings everyone to salvation, to Jesus. The word power there, we talked about it last week. It is the Greek word dunamis. Dunamis in the English, we get our word dynamite. And we said that word power is creative, explosive power of God. So the message, Jesus, salvation, is an explosive, creative power of God that'll bring you to salvation. Amen? All right. But, okay, just bananas. Okay, so let me give you my main idea because I'm just getting ahead of myself. This is the main thing I want you to understand more clearly than ever. And I hope it shakes you. I hope you can't sleep tonight. Because there was a season in my life, this was for me, all right? So I'm being, this was me, I believe it's not me now, but ready, write this down. And by the way, some of you know this, but guess where you know it? Back here in your head. And the reason why I'm going to share this today is because I want you to get it in the front of your face so that it's the focus, that it's your passion again. And I had a time in my life where it wasn't my passion. But it's my passion because I've had things happen in life where, it just kind of puts you in the right place. So ready? If you're taking notes, you ought to write this down. Ready? What you believe about Jesus will determine how you live for him. What you believe about Jesus will determine how you live for him. Okay? Now, if you don't believe that Jesus is the only way, you will live a certain way. Right? You'll live a certain way. You won't have passion for people. You know, we call passion for souls. I don't always like saying that because it just sounds like a word. No, look someone in the eye. That's a people. That's a person. If you want to have passion for people. So when you do believe, what you do believe about Jesus will give you passion for people. Passion for people. Passion for people. Passion for people. So much so that you just want to, one, you want to be around people. Well, I don't want to. No, when you understand, believe in Jesus, you'll want to be around people because it's always been his passion, right? All right, and then you want to be around people, then you want to tell them about people, and you want to pray with people, you want to lead them with people. So what you believe about Jesus will determine how you live about Jesus. And I told you my story last week. I had these two girls when I was in college. We were in the same major, and they'd hit me up before class and after class, and they would hit me up and tell me about Jesus. And they said this. This is what just was like, They said, Jesus is the only way to heaven. But see, I came out of denomination, said the denomination is the only way to heaven. So I was like, I'm cool. I am a such and such denominational little girl, okay? But they kept saying that. I was like, what? Jesus is the only way to heaven. And I was like, what? And so my belief system believed that, and that also so then I could live like hell because I'm of this denomination, I'm going to heaven. And I was pretty close, okay? But they worked me over in a sweet way. And actually, I thought about that. They had such light and joy and peace. And one girl, her situation, you would say, how could you be like that? But their light and their words. And finally, they just did it. And I said, I surrender. And I believe I will receive Jesus to be the way to heaven, to have a relationship. So I just gave in. It was great. It was glorious. And then I understood Jesus is the only way. Okay? But I had to get over there. All right? Now, it changed how I looked at the people that I loved. When you understand who Jesus is, it'll change the way you look at the people you love, the people you hang with, just people. All right? Because what you believe about Jesus will determine how you live for Jesus. Amen. Okay, so again, Apostle Paul, I got ahead of myself. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. So when you believe that, you get up and you look at people and you go, okay. And even if I tell them, and I just like to say, hey, would you like to hear about how my life changed? Would you like to hear the mess of my life and who brought me through it? Okay. And even if they say they don't accept Jesus, you know what? I'm like, that's okay. Because guess what I just did? I planted seeds. And I believe the seed is an incorruptible seed. And it's going to rumble in the inside of them like they ate something bad on the inside of them. It just is moving on the inside of them. And I'm going to pray and believe God that someday they will. The lights will go on and they'll receive Jesus. So, the power of God unto salvation. So what you believe about Jesus will determine how you live for Jesus. Amen. So I want to just go over three things, important things about Jesus. What the Bible says about Jesus and what Jesus says about Jesus. Jesus says some things about him. So we're going to talk about that. All right. Again, this culture is saying something totally different. The culture is telling you, just be a good person and, you know, just like that. And yet, you know, so the culture is saying one thing, and yet this gospel that men and women believed, they would kill you for it. Because you believed? Okay, think about Peter. Peter believed so much in the power of this gospel and who Jesus is and was and is going to be and what he did in his life that Peter was going to be crucified. And historians say that Peter did not want to be crucified like Jesus. He wasn't worthy, so they crucified him upside down. All because he believed in Jesus, right? The apostle Paul, who wrote about two-thirds of the New Testament, he was martyred, he was killed, okay, and they decapitated him, chopped his head off, okay? They chopped his head off because of what he believed. And the reason why they did that is because he would not say, he believed so much in Jesus and how he lived his life that he would not deny that there's other ways, that he would not say there's other ways to heaven. So they said, chop his head off, okay? These guys believed. And listen, they're still doing it. They're still doing it in parts of this globe. Read, the Persecuted Church. What's that magazine I get? Martyrs. There's Voice of the Martyrs. I can't, and I got this one book. I got halfway through. I couldn't read it. Okay? It's real. But, you know, I got to thinking about these guys, and that's still going on here. And I thought, well, I live in the United States, right? That's probably not going to happen here. Better pray, right? But it's probably not going to happen here because I go to bed and feel good about it. And I think, but you know, people do get mad at us for telling them about Jesus. Jesus is the only way. And they might not talk to you. You might lose some friends, right? Anybody ever have that happen? Yeah? Okay. And they might make fun of you and, you know, whatnot. But I got to thinking about these guys that gave their life. And I thought they gave their life because they believed who Jesus was. What he did for him. Do you think we should be able to take a stand for him? I kept thinking. I was talking to myself, not talking to you. I'm going to talk to myself. Okay, Dee, do you think you can take a stand for Jesus? Okay, because this Jesus is the most powerful message that will bring people out of darkness into light, and bring them into the family of God, bring them into heaven. It is powerful. Okay, so you're ready to write down number one. Say, yes, Pastor D. Okay, three things you need to know about Jesus. Number one, Jesus is God, and he always existed, okay? Jesus, now this is where some of you already know this. You could be upstairs. You can give me four more scriptures that I'm going to give you. But listen, it's got to get from back here to up front to the passion that you live with. So just stay tuned in, all right? Jesus is God, and he already existed. Now, Jesus said to his disciples and a bunch of people that he was talking with, and he says, hey, no longer am I going to call you servants because you believe that I am Jesus, the Messiah, the Redeemer. Now, you're going to be my friends. How many of you like being a friend of Jesus? We have that song, I'm a friend of God, I'm a friend of God. I like that. Everybody like to be a friend of God? Okay, and he says, because you believe, you're now a friend of God. So anybody, I don't have any friends. Yes, you do. You have one friend. Okay, all right. Now, but guys, it's really also, it's so important that he's not, yes, I know he's my friend, but I need to believe, I need to know, I need to get it from wherever, to that he is God, he is deity. And yes, he's my friend, but I'm not God, and he's God. And I'll tell you what, it will affect the way you go into worship. You'll have an awe when you go into worship and a reverence because he is God. When I sing, he's God. He is God. Gee. The worship team, thank you. Say, Pastor D, thanks for sharing that. So, you know, when you walk in here, you're all quiet and reverence. Amen. Turn over to the scripture, John chapter 1. John chapter 1. All right. John chapter 1. I've had this happen. I remember someone telling me this, and I was shocked. But, you know, you ever had a boss that you were, a person that you worked with, that you were friends? You were friends. And then they became your boss. Anybody ever had that happen? Okay. Yeah, okay. And then, but the problem I see is that there's such a familiarity, because he's my friend, that when the boss comes in and says, hey, I need you to stay late, and this needs to get fixed up because you messed up. And you're like ticked because you're only that friend, okay? Now, God's not like that, but I need you to go that you have to have a reverence and an awe from him. He is God. Jesus is God. He's almighty. He's deity. And here we go. John chapter 1. The word became flesh. Okay, in John chapter 1, the word is Jesus. The word is Jesus, and he became flesh. What's that mean? He became human. That's why we're going to celebrate in 23 more days, Christmas. I haven't bought a single thing. Nada. Zilch. Okay. So that is why we celebrate. All righty? So the word Jesus became flesh. He became human, and he dwelt among us. Amen. Y'all know this, okay? And we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son. Okay, so he's talking about, we saw the miracles he did. We ate with him. We saw how he laid hands on the sick. We saw that, okay? We saw the glory of the one and only Son, who came to earth from the Father and full of grace and truth. Okay, the reason why I read this scripture is so now you go up, and we're going to read John chapter 1. Excuse me, yeah, 1, verses 1 and 2, all right? This is where I wanted to go, all right? John 1, 1 and 2. In the beginning was the Word, Jesus, right? In the beginning was the Word, Jesus, and the Word, Jesus, right, was with God, and the Word, Jesus, was God. Verse 2, he was with God in the beginning. Okay, so what he's saying is God the Father. Okay, God is God the Father, and Jesus, the Word is Jesus, Jesus is the Son. Okay, so there's one God, but there's three persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Y'all know this, don't tune out, don't check out, write this down. Okay, so what he's saying is, Jesus is as much God, because he is God, like the Father, and he was God, he is God, and he was from the beginning, and he is the message that God created so that people can come to a relationship. We call that salvation or go to heaven, okay? That's the whole plan. Jesus is God and he existed. Point one. Whew. Okay, point two. This is really a fun one. Ready? Don't get mad. This one, okay? Because I'm going to give you what the Bible says. But I read this, and this is what I'm going to say to you. Ready? Write this down. Jesus taught, not me. Jesus taught that the majority of people won't go to heaven. What? I hate that. Eh. No, no. Jesus taught that the majority of people won't go to heaven. Now, I'm not talking about if you've received Jesus, where are you going? Heaven. Guaranteed. That's it, all right? Okay, we won't even get to that one, all right? But he's talking about the majority of people on earth will choose not to accept Jesus. I hate this, Pastor D. No, 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 I'm going to tell you what Jesus said. Listen to me. The majority of people on this earth will choose not to accept Jesus, but I'm still going after them. But you still go towards them, all right? Because you don't know who they are. You don't know the who's and the don'ts, right? So the majority of people, the majority of Catholics, Protestants, okay? Let me say that. If they believe in Jesus, they're going to heaven. They have a relationship. They can come boldly into the throne of grace because they've asked Jesus, okay? But the rest, it says the majority of them will choose not to. All righty? Now, I'm going to give you a statistic. Ready? Here we go. Excuse me, 66 of evangelicals. Okay, what do you know about evangelicals? You don't know anything. Be quiet. Yeah, say that real loud. They share Christ. They believe Jesus is the only way. Generally speaking, when you talk about an evangelical, anybody agree? Anybody disagree? Be quiet. Okay, but generally speaking, evangelicals, matter of fact, yes, all evangelicals have been taught that Jesus is the way, the truth, the light, the only way to heaven, to get to the Father, right? Okay, now listen to this statistic. It says 66 of evangelicals believe heaven is a place all people go to reunite with loved ones. What the what? How'd that happen? I'll tell you how it happened. Now listen, they were taught, evangelicals. I love evangelicals. I'm going to tell you what they taught me. Foundationals, okay? Foundations. One, Jesus is the only way, okay? But they were taught that, but what happened? 66% of them have now been schmoozed by the culture, pushed with the culture, right? That's what's happened. The culture is just pounding them, and that's what's happened. Isn't that crazy? Woo! Okay. So, and you know what that's called? Universalism. Anybody ever hear about the universalism? Okay, well, we'll talk a little bit more about it. You know, all dogs go to heaven, but all people go to heaven. All right? That's universal. Your good people go to heaven. Da 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 da. Okay. So listen, what happens? How many of you ever heard somebody's story about they had an out-of-body experience, they died, right, and they came back? Anybody read a book? Did anybody go see that movie? Okay, just YouTube, all right? So they died and they came back. They say they went to heaven and then they came back. So you all know what I'm talking about? You've heard people? Okay, so the question is, how do I know if that really happened? Oh, by the way, after Jack died, I got every book I got a bookshelf of this stuff, okay? But anyway, here's how you know. This is how you know if it really is true. First off, the majority of them will say, oh, heaven is so beautiful. Well, I'm like, it ought to be. It's heaven, right? Okay, then they'll say, oh, I saw my relatives. So I'm like, well, that's cool. Were you surprised? You know, okay. But if all they say is, hey, heaven was beautiful and pretty and I saw so-and-so, if that's all they say, when they said they went to heaven and they came back, then I think they're lying, or they didn't go, or they need a pink pill. All right, they're just off their rocker. Okay. And Satan comes as an angel of light to deceive. Okay, but listen, let me tell you what the Bible says. This is what I say: if you were to die and go to heaven, and you're supposedly the one that came back. But if you die and you go to heaven and you'd see Jesus, and he's saying, I'm sending you back. And he says, but you remember what I said. You go and you grab people because you know what my words is. You go tell them that I am the only way. They have to come through me to go to heaven. You make sure you go tell them. Then you can come back. But if people are just back going, oh, it's so beautiful, the flowers, they never die and this and that. I don't think so. Because listen, if you got sent back, Jesus was passionate about this message, and he is passionate to tell you again if he's sending you back. If not, you probably stayed, okay? I don't know why he didn't stay, but anyway, I don't believe that they really saw Jesus. I don't believe they really heard Jesus, because he is still that passionate on the power of that gospel that brings people to salvation. He was so passionate that he would die. Come on, he's passionate. So if you're going back, guess what you're going to be passionate about? Telling people. Amen. All right, now I'm going to give you your scriptures to prove it. Ready? Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7:13. This is Jesus. Okay? He says, enter through the narrow gate. Ready? For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And destruction there is talking about eternal damnation, okay? Eternity, damnation, okay? So he's saying, wide is the gate, broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. And we just did statistics, okay? How many enter through it? Many. All right, let's read the next verse. Here we go. Verse 14. But small is the gate, and narrow is the road that leads to life. Life, eternal life. Life, no judgments, because Jesus took your judgment so that you could go to heaven, okay? All right, so small is the gate, and narrow is the road that leads to life, all right, heaven. And only a few, I didn't write this, only a few find it. Only a few find it. Whoa. Okay, so we got a wide gate and we got a narrow gate. John chapter 10, verse 9. I am the gate, Jesus. Who's the gate? Jesus. I'm the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. Woo! Gosh. Me get excited. They will come in and go out and find pasture. Okay, so we got a wide gate. We got a wide gate, and these are all kinds of religions. This is, and they're good people. I know people, they're nice people that are believing in all kinds of religions. This is also the wide gate that people believe it's works. Okay, that's a wide gate, all right? And then you have the small gate, the narrow road, small gate, right? And it's pretty narrow. And you know how narrow it is? It says, Jesus is the only way. Jesus, right? I didn't make that up. Jesus is the only way, and you can't get there any other way. That's pretty narrow, isn't it? All right. Now, because of that, this is how I live life. I see people, and they're by the wide gate, and I grab them, and I'm pushing them through the narrow. No, narrow gate. Come on, push you in there. Okay? Because what you believe about Jesus is how you will live your life. And you look at people and, who has never gotten this poster? This is the wide and the narrow. Go look at this. I got it right side up, okay? This poster is so much fun. It's not fun. It should be emotional. Because this gate is wide, and if you believe what you believe about Jesus, you'll be grabbing them out of the wide and pushing them in the narrow. Amen? All right, so that is why I do altar calls pretty much every Sunday, right? That is why I tell people, hey, you want to hear about my messed up life and how my life is now? I love doing that. They just always love to hear about messed up life. That is why I pray for people, right? Because I believe what Jesus says. Narrow. And this is wide, and this is narrow. Praise God. So what you believe about Jesus will determine the way you live for him. Amen. Pastor D, this is so much fun. Let me give you one more statistic. Ready? Okay, this one just, all right. Out of the 7.5 billion people that are alive on the planet, I didn't know that. I had to ask Google, okay? 7.5 people that are alive on the planet, listen to this. 31% claim they're Christians. Okay, that could be you and I. I don't claim. We say I'm a believer because I've received Jesus. Or it could be, you know, a granny and grandpa that grew up in the church that their granny and grandpa grew up into. But they just have grown up in that church and they've never gone through the narrow. So actually they've grown up in religion. Anybody know people that grow up in religion and they just think, that was me. I thought I belonged to this church. So therefore, I was really in the wide. I thought I was in the narrow, but I was in the wide. I just thought, well, I'm going to heaven, okay? So again, 31% claim to be of the Christian faith, all right? Now listen to this part. In 2017, the Christian Post poll estimated that there are only 13% people that truly believe, have accepted Jesus, the one way to heaven. So there's a whole wide bunch that are not going, believing and going, right? To spend, all right? And there's just this 13%. You know what, guys? That's a lot of people that haven't asked Jesus, okay? So now I know some of you know this, okay? And there was a season in my life I knew this, but it wasn't what I really was passionate about. And today I'm hoping to raise passion again in your life so that when you look at people, you can't walk past them. You pray for them, for heaven's sakes, the least you can do. So here's my third point. Here we go. Number three, Jesus is the only way of salvation. Jesus is the only way of salvation, okay? And this is where I'm going to tell you what Jesus said about himself. This is what Jesus said about himself, okay? Everybody else, there's other people that say, but this is Jesus saying about himself. Now, Jesus is the only way to salvation. I want to tell you, that's a tough one. That used to get emotional. Sometimes it does, because I have had family and friends that I know they haven't asked Jesus to be the Savior. They haven't surrendered their life. Okay, so when I read that, I'm like, God, can I take that page out? No, that's what the culture does, right? I have a grandfather. I met him twice in my life because he lived in California, and I honestly don't know. Wide gate, narrow gate. I don't know. Okay, do you have some people like that? Some people that you know, you don't know what gate they went in? Okay, and this should be emotional when I read this scripture, okay? But you know what I do when I, once someone has gone on, has died, you can't change it. So I'm going to turn my attitude to this, okay? I'm not going to lose sleep over that, okay? But I'm going to turn my attitude is, I am going after everybody I can and tell them there's one way to the Father, and it's through Jesus. That's how you're going to live life, because what you believe about Jesus will change the way you live about Jesus. All right. Almost last scripture, John chapter 14. This is Jesus. He's talking about himself. This is the one time you like to hear people talk about themselves, okay? Talking about himself. Jesus answered, and he says, everybody, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Me is Jesus, okay? Now, if this past week I put on the Gospel of John on my, and just listen to it. And I should have kept score, but Jesus said that same statement over and over through the Gospel of John. He just didn't say that once, plop it in there. He would say that over and over. There's one way. I am the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except for through me. He would say that over and over through the whole gospel. Go put that on, take score, tell me next week what it is, okay? So what Jesus was saying is, I am the little gate, and nobody comes to the Father except through me, all right? You're quiet in here. Praise God. And you know what? That message is so powerful because it is the power to salvation. It is the power to, when I say salvation, to take someone out of darkness, to take them out of that life and bring them into the Father's, bring them into the family of God. That's powerful. Praise God. All right, let me read you John chapter 8, verse 24. This is Jesus, okay? Jesus says, I told you that you would, okay, this is where he's get a little feisty. I love this, okay? I told you that you would die in your sins if you don't believe me, that if you don't believe that I am he, that I am the Messiah, that I am the one way, I am the door. He said, so if you don't believe that I am he, you will indeed die in your sins. Okay, what's die in your sins? So the Catholics believe it's original sin. Everybody's born in original sin. The Protestants would say you're born sin-stained. Guess what? They're both right. Okay? It's both right. Okay? Because if Adam and Eve sinned, everybody was born for all have sinned. It's not I cussed, I killed. No, all have sinned because of Adam and Eve. We're born into this. We're all sinners. Okay? And we need a Savior. Praise God. So, the thing is, we're all sin-stained. Every person sin-stained, original sin. And if you don't do something about it, there's two addresses you get to go to. Address number one, you can go to heaven. What's address number two? Hell. I love when I was kids. Let's all say hell. Kids get so excited because we tell them not to cuss and swear, but they just like, hell, okay. So, praise God. So, there's two addresses, and, you know, everybody wants to go to address number one, heaven. But you can't go there unless you go through the narrow gate and you believe Jesus is who he is, did what he did, said that. Right? Okay. All right. How about John chapter 3, verse 18? John chapter 3, verse 18. Whoever believes in him, Jesus, whoever believes in Jesus, whoever believes in Jesus is not condemned. But whoever does not believe him stands condemned already. So you're condemned, eternal judgment, if you do not believe Jesus. If you've accepted Jesus, Jesus took your judgment. Hallelujah. You have no worries, okay? But if you have not believed in Jesus, you stand condemned, right? Because they have not believed in the name of God, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. So, write this down. You know, sometimes I cook these things up and I'm like, oh, that's good. Write this one down. Ready? Here we go. Write this down. Jesus is saying, it's not the bad things we do. It's not the bad things we do that keep us out of heaven. Cussing, lying, cheat. Okay. It's not the bad things that we do that keep us out of heaven, but it's the one thing we don't do. So when you understand that Jesus is the only way and you, see, this is where you understand that, but when you renew your mind to that, you think on that. You know that. It is up front. It will change the way you live your life. Amen? Okay, one more scripture. This is the very first sermon that was ever preached after Jesus died and rose again. Very first sermon that was ever preached. And it's Peter. And it's found in Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. This is Peter. And he says, now listen, I would think Peter had some firsthand information. First, and he rubbed shoulders. He ate. He walked on water. He blew it. He just was Peter. Okay, so Peter says this. Ready? There is salvation in no one else. Woo! Under all heaven, there is no other name for men to call upon to be saved. There's no other name. Amen. No other name. So he's saying Jesus is the only way to salvation. Jesus is so powerful that if you call on the name of the Lord, you will be saved. Woo, gosh. Now listen, we have a culture that says, are you kidding me? Come on. I can be a good person, right? Or I can be a part of this religion, or I can work my way. I can do good things, okay? Listen, when someone grabs hold of that, it will change the way you live. I'll never forget, it was probably the first year after Jack and I got married, and we were going to go home to New Jersey to my family, and I said, hey, Jack, let's get my family Bibles. He's like, yeah, okay, let's get them Bibles. And let's put tracts in them. How many remember tracts? Tracts are a little piece of paper that have a little bite-sized gospel truth in it, okay? So, and then I wrote in there, and it's something like, hey, you guys, I love you. Merry Christmas. And I just want you to know the change in my life. And I want you to have the same thing. I want you to have Jesus. Something like that, okay? Do you know how many thank yous I got? Yeah, no thank yous. It was kind of funny because years later I would find them stashed around the house. So no thank yous, and I had one particular family member saying, hey, don't you dare talk to me about that ever again. At least I know they got the Bible, right? Okay. So, but listen, all but one, and I'm pretty sure, but I don't know, and I don't lose sleep on it, but every one of my family members received Jesus. Yeah, okay. What? So, everybody say, what you believe about Jesus determine how you live about Jesus, right? Okay. So, how do you live for Jesus? All right, I'm just going to give you some really quick ones. Write this down. Model. Are you going to pop them up, maybe? I don't know. That's okay. Model, pray, share, invite, serve. Model does not mean the runway, okay? Model means how you live your life before people, how you let your light shine. Like, oh, hell is breaking loose at work, and you are this calm person, okay? That you model Jesus before people, okay? And you let them see you let them see the fruits of the Spirit, and you let them see hope and love. You just, oh, it's so great. And you know what eventually happens when you model Jesus? They come knocking on your door. I get phone calls from people, you're like, they don't want anything to do with Jesus, and when they get a bad, Pastor D, will you pray for me? These are people that don't believe in Jesus at this moment and stuff like that. So if you model it, they'll come calling, right? Okay, second one is pray. Pray is really simple. You pray, Father, I thank you that you opened my eyes, that Jesus is the one way. And I pray, Father, that you'd open so-and-so's eyes. Give them eyes open, ears open, understanding. Holy Spirit, you just work their heart open, that they'd be open so that they could receive Jesus. So model, pray. The next one is sharing and inviting. Sharing and inviting. Sharing. You just tell people, you know, they'll say, you know, how come you didn't get upset when the boss did this? And you just say, well, let me tell you my story. All right, let me tell you my story. Let me tell you how I, who Jesus is in my life and all that stuff. Okay, and then eventually, guys, you have to say invite. Everybody say invite. Invite. Okay, you can, this is so easy. Okay, invite them to church, okay? But better yet, as you share your story with them, say, hey, can I pray for you? Now, that's the part that, you know, you kind of get stuck in your throat. But, you know, but listen, when you know who Jesus is, you won't be like that anymore. You won't be like that anymore, okay? So you want to share and invite them to Jesus, invite them to church, invite them to your home group. Oh, it's Pastor Sherry Nevin was telling me about, you guys have that college and career group, and she'll prepare, now she's kind of passed it on to Emily and stuff, but she'll prepare a message, and she says, the next thing I know, this college group, or even Sunday night, she says, like, I had this message prepared, and now five people walk in, and people brought their friends that I know that they don't know that Jesus is the narrow. They don't know Jesus. She says, man, I just changed my message real quick. We're just going to make it that simple message on who Jesus is and how much he loves them and stuff like that. So again, you've got to share and invite. Praise God. Last two, serve and give. Okay. The church, raise your hand, you're the church. We're supposed to be the church and doing church. And this is just like a low level of it. But this is important. And we believe that we are following God's directions and it takes people serving. And I really believe from the moment you drive in here, come in here, go upstairs, downstairs, when you serve here, you're helping people see Jesus, receive Jesus. Right? When you're friendly and smiling and happy and helpful and stuff like that, you are helping people come to know Jesus. Right, man? And giving, well, it takes money. How many of you know? Shoo, it takes money. I love this electric bill in the summertime. Whoa. Praise God. Hallelujah. Okay. But it takes money to get the gospel out. Okay. And I have departments downstairs that are doing phenomenal, okay? And just, it takes money. So what it means is I'm going to be generous to the church that God's got me planted in. Amen. Praise God. So, let me see. How do you close? Praise the Lord. Okay. 5 more minutes. Bill Winston would lie. It'd be a half hour later. So funny. He is so funny. Listen to this. About 500 Muslims come to faith in Christ every month in Iran. 500, you're like, yeah, that's a lot. Because that's like the top country that just decapitates, kills Christians, okay? 500 people take a stand that might cost them their life. It's pretty amazing. Okay, don't cry, Pastor D. And it says, and many of the new believers are young, since 70% of Iran is under the age of 30. That's why I believe in children's ministry. Man, it is so easy to lead kids to the Lord. It's so exciting, and they're so excited. They get hugs and kisses, and they jump and dance, and they, you know, it's just easy. Okay, because they're not polluted half as much as older people are. Okay, listen to this one. Every day, about 20,000 Africans come to Christ. This was in this article I read. 20,000 every day. Every day! Every day! Listen to this one. There are currently between 60 and 80 million Christians in China. Okay. And what's that? Well, I can't read that handwriting. Oh, listen to this. Between 20 and 25,000 converts a day. Man. So you know what I'm believing? What am I believing? I'm believing for people to come to the narrow. I'm believing for you, your families, your friends. I'm believing that they're going to have a heart open so that you will tell them. You will share. You'll bring them into your world. I'm believing. I'm believing for York County. I'm believing for this nation, okay? You know why I'm believing? Because that's what God wants us to do. Amen. So, praise the Lord. Jesus said, there's a narrow gate. Okay? And you are important. God has you places that this person can't go, that I can't go. And you need to, okay, no need to. And we will look at people. Because what we know about Jesus will change the way we live. Amen. How about you just close your eyes for a second? Father, how about we just thank God for sending Jesus? Whoa! Father, thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you. And I know we celebrate Christian, but Lord, I thank you for selling Jesus. Thank you that Jesus, I thank you for the people that just shared the gospel with me, told me that there was one way. Man, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for the gospel that has changed my life. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, I'm going to give one invitation. You can keep your eyes open. You can close your eyes. You can bow your head. Just don't fall asleep. And you guys, this is so powerful. And the invitation is, if you were to die today, there is eternity. There's two addresses. Do you know what address you go to? And you can know. And it's real simple. It's the Bible says, Jesus says, those that call on my name, believe in their heart and confess with their mouth, they'll be saved. And that's that narrow. And that narrow takes you into the presence of the Father and the blessings of God. And it just does great things while you're on this planet. And shoot, when we make it heaven, it's even better. But do you know that where you'd spend eternity? Amen. If you don't, and you'd say, Pastor D, I've sure heard a lot today. And if you don't, and you'd like to, man, I want to pray for you. Right? Anybody want to pray for somebody today? Are you wound up? You ought to be wound up. Well, the restaurants, they're going to get it today. Amen. Okay. It is nothing to be afraid of to share Jesus. What's the worst they can say? Get out of here. No, I don't want to. I said that for my two friends. I was like, you guys must be high. Get away from me, blah. Okay. But listen, I believe that there's power in the name of Jesus and the gospel message. And I have just planted a seed, an incorruptible seed, and I'm praying it'll come back and they're eventually going to meet Jesus. So what's the worst they can say? No. What's the best they can say? I've choose Jesus. Amen. So this is what we say. We're going to stand. Everybody stand up. Praise God. Praise God. Please. How about we... This is practice. Because I'm not going to ask you how many people you've led to the Lord this year. Okay? So we're going to practice. So it's not so, I don't know what to say. Jason, can I embarrass you for 2 seconds? Really going to embarrass myself. Jason was a little boy. He was in the foyer. I was in the foyer. And he was in one of my kids. I don't know that your parents were coming to church yet. Who was the first one that came? Might have been, but was it Eric and Tammy that were coming to youth or something like that? Well, Jason was just a little squirt, and he grabs me, corners me in the foyer, and he goes, "Miss D, Miss D." I was like, what? You know, it's becoming future. He says, can I do that? I'm like, what? Can I pray that? What? Oh, whoa. And I said, come into my office. I threw him in the bookstore, and we just prayed this prayer. There were seeds planted, and I didn't plant all those seeds. I was not the only children's minister, and there's not the only person that ever plants seeds in lives. And what they say, it's between 6 and 10 times people plant seeds till they finally bloom, all right? So simple. You just leave. Someone says, okay, can I? Most of the time, you have to ask them, can I pray for you? Okay. Occasionally, get no. But if you just go ask them, can I pray for you? I've told them about my story, and then I'll say, can I pray for you? Right? Everybody say that. Can I pray for you? All right, now use wisdom, okay? Use wisdom. Some of you have heard some stories, no wisdom, for crying out loud. Just, if you don't know what wisdom is, I'll tell you wisdom, all right? Okay, anyway, use wisdom and then say, can I pray for you? And they'll say yes. So you just simply say, just lead them, say, repeat after me. And just repeat after me, Father God, I believe in Jesus. It's the only way. And I believe I'm a sinner, and I need Jesus. Now, Jesus, I accept you as my Savior. You're the one way. And now you're mine. And I'm yours. Amen. Okay. I can do better than that if I had more time. But, you know, just it's so simple. Okay? Amen. All right. What you believe about Jesus will determine how you live for Jesus. Y'all living good today. Amen. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you so much. Have a wonderful day. If you'd like prayer for anything, we'll agree with